The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Or no?
No, we don't, because, and then, yep. And this is a good place to start the show. Of course, we haven't done the show for, a couple of weeks now. We apologize. It's like every time we're apologizing, but I'm finished. Look, you'll see the beard is a little bit trimmed. All I've got to do is pack, get on the plane and come motherfucking home. It's over. It's done. Bo Nickel. I don't know what's going on. He's been great. He's been great. Every time he's like, yeah, no problem. I'll be there. But I've been doing nights and I've been doing days and I've been doing nights and I've been doing days. And I don't know what time of day it is. I'm drinking first thing in the fucking morning. Do you know what I mean? I'm losing my mind. Our pets' heads are falling off, but we're back, baby, with a bang. Anthony Smith, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm good, man. I'm getting ready to do this whole fly off thing to Bristol for UFC 280, which I can't fucking wait for. You know, I haven't traveled in a while just with this whole injury blood clot thing. So just got all my shit packed and ready to roll. I bet you are pumped. Are your wife and kids excited?
Oh, we're all excited. See, because Callum, bless him, he needs to have surgery again. Again, he keeps fucking up his knees in wrestling. So he's going to be home. It's like every cloud has a silver lining. He flies home tonight. Well, tomorrow. When I land, he pretty much lands. So all the family's going to be back together. We're going to have a nice home-cooked meal, have some wine, play some music. All the family will be back together. And then tomorrow morning, UFC 280, it's on in the morning. I'll be sitting in my couch, you know, watching with Cal. I can't fucking wait. Just get back to my normal life. Don't get me wrong. I had a lovely time out here doing the movie. Very, very grateful for these opportunities. But bro, living in a hotel room by yourself for 9 fucking weeks, some days you want to kill yourself. I shouldn't say that because it's mocking. I'm joking. But it gets depressing. It does sometimes. But still.
What's been the hardest part other than being away from home? Is it just, is it just the living in a hotel being alone part or just the workload?
Not so much the workload, even though, to be honest, and I'm not going to sit here and say, well, you don't realize actors work really hard, but they do. The hours are pretty, you know, we're getting picked up at sometimes 4:45, 5 a.m. You're not walking until 7, 8 p.m. And then it switches. Then you're doing night shoots, you know, so you're absolutely exhausted. It comes to 2 o'clock in the morning. You can't keep your eyes open, but you're going through till 6 a.m. Do you know what I mean? And then you have a day and a half off and then boom, you're going again, you know? So that's been tough. But the main thing has just been, but it's been fun as well. When you're actually doing things, you know, my character, you know, he's swinging an axe around, killing people and shit like that. And I did some pretty cool acting scenes as well. When you're doing that stuff, you forget all about being tired, you know? And they say, and I sound like a wanker because people go, oh, Bisping's Hollywood now. I'm not Hollywood. But the saying is the acting you do for free, it's the standing around, the waiting that you get paid for. Do you know what I mean? But to answer your question, just being alone, being away from the family, living in a hotel room by yourself. You know, I've got a great life back home, and I can't wait to get back to it. But still, enough about that. We'll be back 2 episodes per week. Garen motherfucking teed. And you can take that to the bank. Anthony Smith, what movie is that from?
I don't know. I never know. I never fucking know.
Yeah, I know.
Never.
When I said take that to the bank, I'm like, oh, I know what movie that is. All right. It stars a guy. He's very tall. He's a martial arts guy. He was big in the 80s/90s.
I don't know.
He made a crossover into the mixed martial arts world sphere by mentoring a couple of certain Brazilians.
Is it Steven Seagal?
It's a Steven Seagal movie.
I don't know if I know any Steven Seagal movies.
Yeah, this one was good. Hard to Kill. Is it Hard to Kill or Nico? Yeah. Have you never seen that?
Hard to Kill.
And you can take that to the bank. He gets put in a coma and he comes out years later and his family's been killed and whatnot. And he goes on revenge. Anyway.
Steven Seagal.
Fucking Steven Seagal. Remember that shit with the front kicks to the face?
What is with the yellow fucking glasses? That's what drives me. I don't get it. I don't want to sit here and talk bad about Steven Seagal. It's probably
neither. As Hollywood Bisping strikes again. I did a film in Bangkok. When was it? 2019 or six? Fuck, I don't know. And Steven Seagal, I got a tap on the shoulder, and it was like the minder or bodyguard, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Seagal says, "Would you like to join in for cigars and whiskey?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't smoke cigars and I don't really drink whiskey, but fuck yes, I do." he was a very accommodating gentleman, so shout out Seagal, you fucking maniac. What should we get into? Harrington, did you see his escapades, Anthony?
Oh my yes, I completely forgot, none of that was in the notes. So this booger beard guy who's been screaming and cutting promos and telling Bisping he was going to suck his dick.
He loves a good dick suck reference.
He loves dick sucking.
Yeah, but you love a good dick suck as well, Anthony. Let's
who doesn't?
But then he's on Twitter.
From Booger Beard.
I was upset that he didn't offer me one, actually. Like, why?
A lot. I don't need to follow him on Twitter, people.
So he's giving them to everyone but me. Like, that's bullshit, first of all. Yeah. But then he's on Twitter crying, like super upset, and he's in his feelings and he can't handle the I don't know, the people giving him shit, like the, I don't know what the word I'm looking for.
Hold on, was he actually crying?
He's got some emotional tweets lately.
People were telling him to kill himself all weekend, so he's not quite used to that.
Well, that's not nice, and I'll explain just a second, Harrington. Just for people that don't know, Harrington had a boxing match against this guy on Twitter that's kind of getting well-known. He's like in the MMA Twitter world, and he's called Booger Beard, and he makes jokes. He's pretty funny on Twitter, mm-hmm. And you guys had a boxing match at Skankfest. You wiped the floor with him. I saw the video of it, Harrington. How was the whole thing? And shout out Booger Beard, and ignore those dickheads, because sadly, you know, why would people fucking say, go kill yourself and things like that?
To be fair, he was a super cool dude. I was hanging out with him for a little bit when he showed up, because nobody was talking to him. And I was just like, fucking think you're great. Let's go.
No. He does seem like a nice guy. Harrington, tell me about your experience, bud.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my experience really was Brian fraternizing with the enemy just hours before I had to go fight the guy. But, you know, it was a lot of fun, man. Honestly, he had nothing for me. He had absolutely no clue what to do against the hand speed in there.
Over throwing a punch, Harrington. You had very little to do with it.
Anthony, no, have you heard this guy? Could you actually imagine if Harrington got some real skills and like actually started winning proper fights?
Yeah, he was actually good.
God, insufferable.
Oh, sorry, I got to tell my baby bye. They're going on a field trip, and I'm going to be gone when they get back. Hey.
Bye-bye.
You want to say hi?
Hello. So, sorry, what's your name again?
Alani.
Hello, Alani.
Hey.
Do you want to see something freaky, Alani? Look here.
Look, he's going to pop his eyeball out.
There's not something you see every day, Alani. She's going to cry. Oh, no. I'm putting it back in. She's like, no, this conversation's over.
All right. I love you.
So they're going away. You're going to Bristol, Connecticut for UFC.
I am. Sorry to cut you guys off there. My bad.
No, we love a bit.
Yeah, they're going on a field trip with the 8-year-old to the pumpkin patch, and by the time they get back, I'll be gone.
Well, we know that. Well, that's good for you then, because you're up to your eyeballs. Pardon the expression in pumpkins, I'm sure. Yeah. Should we tease Harrington some more? We've got a lot to talk.
We should.
About.
We should just give him. Well, some
ahead.
Shit,
go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I actually have serious questions. What were you nervous? Like when you're getting ready to walk out and go fight?
So like, here's the thing. I Mike is making fun of me. I've done this twice before where I've gotten,
he's a seasoned pro.
I've gotten in front of a crowd and fought somebody, but never somebody as big as Booger Beer was 6'2", 240 pounds.
Harrington, that guy, stop. Yes. I'm not making fun of you. We're all having a lighthearted bit of banter, mate. I'm not making fun of you at all. I never do. It's a bit of banter. But I've done this twice before. Hey, God bless you. No, no. I said to bring it up. Good for you, man. You know, well done. You went out and beat a homeless person up. That's something like to be really proud of.
He spends all his time sucking random dicks. He's not training.
That's the only reason he was there. He was looking for something to suck. Go on, Hamilton. Sorry.
I will tell you, it is cool. It is cool just a couple of days a week showing up, working with your friends, like training on things, and then getting to get into a ring and put it to good use. Like it, the conversation I had with Booger Beard after, because I did. You're right. I wiped the floor with him. I hit him with some big body shots that he said were enough to keep him from getting out of bed the next day. So I was pretty proud of that one. But I told him, I was like, dude, go to a gym. Right. And like get a couple, like actually try this. Right. You got into a ring. You had thousands, literally thousands of people cheering you on while you were in a boxing match. Go to a boxing gym and actually like try for a couple days a week, you know, training and get some skills and then try yourself again. Just test yourself because nothing.
And then maybe he could earn a rematch with you.
Oh, I would love to. I would love
to. He's going to have to earn it. He's going to have to get some legitimate wins. He's going to have to sell out some cards.
Mm hmm. Yeah, he's got to do, you know,
money,
I love the confidence.
Mayweather. I don't listen to this
and yet he still won't street fight.
Furious anger.
You might want to bleep that bit out.
I'll pay your purses.
Yeah?
Oh, my God. Yes. Okay. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, mental health has never had such a big spotlight on it than what it has now. But the reality is people suffer. People are still suffering, and sadly, suicides are still happening all the time. That's why talking to somebody really, really comes in helpful, and that is what BetterHelp offers. Listen, people are busy, people have lives, people can't travel to the other side of town or whatever, you know, but we have these phones in our pockets, so that's what you can do. You can FaceTime, essentially, with a therapist, or you speak to them on the phone, whichever one works, so you don't have to sit in traffic, you don't have to go and have an awkward conversation. If you don't like the professional counselor that they match you up with, then you can just switch very, very easily. Also, it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling. Financial aid is also available. So it's very, very easy to get started. So listen, if you have something that's on your mind that's preventing you from being the best you can be, if you're having suicidal thoughts, if you're having any kind of issue, you know, speak to somebody. Reach out. There really is no stigma. And this is a very easy way to do it. You know, as I say, it takes away all the awkwardness. It takes away the research. You just go to betterhelp.com/believe. You can join over 1 million people that have taken charge over their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Okay. Betterhelp.com/believe. That's the website. You're going to get 10% off your first month. Listen, you know, if you're listening to this, there's something eating away at you inside. Do yourself a favor. Confront those demons. Talk about whatever it is. Go to betterhelp.com/believe. You will get 10% off your first month. We're going to not talk about you for a second and your babies and your buddy, whatever escapade you're up to.
Undefeated career.
Undefeated career. Oh, my God. What's going on with grizzly bears and bisons and all this type of stuff?
So this is going to be a two-parter here because I have the details on the bison. So a woman, Rebecca Clark, was, you know.
Oh, Rebecca Clark. Nice. Yeah, I know her well. Yeah.
I remember her.
She's still working at that restaurant?
Yeah. She's at 99's. Yeah. She's a manager there now, actually. So she was trying to you know, make her way back onto a path. She ran into some bison while she was hiking, and she tried to like skirt them and give them, you know, like a wide berth there. And one of the bison, she like didn't pick up the signals that the bison were not having her near them. And she got rammed and gored while filming the thing.
Well, of course.
To tell the tale.
We need to see the video.
Oh, it's got the good music. You always need good music when you got a goring happening.
I just want to get... Okay? Thank you. I appreciate it.
Stupid. Yep. That's...
Oh, my God! There you go.
Well, what the fuck does she expect? Thanks, Brian. I mean, a bison is a ridiculously large, powerful, wild animal. And these women, well, I don't mean women, these people, men, obviously that was a woman, but like, do you think they're in a fucking, not even a zoo, but they think they're, I don't know what they're thinking, a petting zoo. We're just going to film it and get close.
It always shocks me when people see these goddamn video, like they see these wild animals and they're just so confident and so comfortable to just walk by like this thing gives a fuck about you. Like bison do a pretty good job of protecting themselves in the wild. Like there's not a whole shit ton of predators, especially predators by themselves that are attacking bison. It's just, I don't know where people get this confidence where they're just cool thinking that like, I don't like they're the alpha. Like, yeah, he'll just walk away because I'm here. He don't give a fuck about you. Like you're in the way. You're in the way and you're a threat. And that's exactly what happens when wild animals are threatened. I don't get it. Like people, obviously we're going to get into this bear shit too, but like people think that they're like these big fluffy animals and they're cute and they see them out on these plains and cool pictures. They're not. These are goddamn murderers.
Well, we were talking the other week, weren't we, about the dog attacks, I think it was. Or maybe it was one of the episodes you could have graces on, Anthony, because, you know, la-di-da. But, you know, animals are wild animals, and that is a bison. And as you said, that's a really good point. I can't really think in North America, what kind, other than humans, of course. I mean, what other, maybe like a wolves, grizzly bear?
Like wolves, bears. But bears aren't attacking bison.
Nah.
That's way too hard pack of a target. Like a pack of wolves? Yeah, but it takes like 20. And it will take them 4 hours.
Wolves and dogs are the top predators on the planet, believe it or not. What wild dogs, according to some documentary I watched. Yeah, animals, man. You got to be careful. Like last night, we were doing the scene on the movie, La-Di-Da, here we go again. But we were doing some stunts. I can't go into details and reveal what happened. But the horse got really spooked, right? And it just took off charging around the fucking set like crazy. And there's hundreds of people. Do you know what I mean? And there's cameras and there's expensive equipment. And then some of the other horses started getting fucking riled up. And I'm standing there in the middle of the fucking thing, swinging an axe around. And I'm like, whoa. And it all kind of, all hell broke loose. And obviously I only see one side. And I turn around and the horse is charging right at me. And it was probably about 6 feet away from me. And I thought, I'm fucking dead. And I just went, I don't know where this came from. I've got no training in this. I just went, put my hand out, went, whoa, like that.
Yeah.
It stopped riding its fucking tracks. I swear to God.
You're a fucking hero. You stopped the whole thing.
I swear. I went, whoa, and it stopped. I turned around and I'm like, please tell me we got that on fucking camera. I don't know if we did.
When I say whoa, I mean whoa.
But you were talking about some grizzly bears. There was another thing.
There's a couple bear things going on, isn't there? One's a black bear, and I think the other's a grizzly bear.
Well, let's just keep it on the grizzly because it's more impressive.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah. Well, I figured Harrington had the details.
Oh, no, right.
Like, I got the general. I think this must be the black bear.
This is the black bear.
Yeah, this guy's just hiking and climbing. And there's a fucking bear.
Whoa.
Look at him hammer fisting the shit out of it.
Oh my God.
Do you see that thing come right from the top?
See how fast it moved?
Yeah. You see how fast he turned around and was able to like land in a pretty athletic position?
And then run straight back up.
Yeah. That's weird too, because black bears aren't typically super aggressive.
No.
They're like little, I always call black bears like little crackheads. Like they'll definitely, like when you're out amongst, you know, like in the woods, like we ride razors a lot, like deep in the fucking weird places where there's lots of black bears. I've never seen one in the wild. Like they'll see you and hear you way before you'll hear them, and they're kind of little crackheads. Like they'll just jet out and they don't want to be around. So it's kind of weird he's so aggressive.
Yeah, no, here in Bulgaria there's we're in the city of Sofia, but then surrounded by it's just all woods and countryside. It's actually very beautiful. And I we've done some filming in the woods on certain nights. I was like, what kind of wildlife do we get around here? And there's lots of bears, black bears and wolves. And I said, is there attacks? you know, from the Bears. And then they said no. So generally, they're not interested in humor. They tend to stay away. So yeah, to your point there. But Brian, wasn't there one of someone, two footballers or two wrestlers or something, physically fist fighting a grizzly bear?
So what I have is, there was no video of it, but it's two students at a Northwest college in Cody, Wyoming. It was two members of the wrestling team. They were on a hike in a national park. One of them was attacked by a grizzly bear. His teammate saw it, ran over, attacked the bear, like started pulling on its fur, basically just got it off his teammate who had like a puncture. Yes.
I believe Brian said he has the video. So whilst you're doing it, and it also
not of the grizzly bear.
Jesus Christ, player. This show's
you
all over the place.
You fucked that one up, Mike.
We haven't been
that one
back
up.
On air in weeks, and we come back with this subpar bullshit. Oh, dear.
No, I'll clean it all up. We'll be fine.
No, no, no.
This show's
no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Go on, Harrington. Sorry, but I just got confused. I must have meant the black bear. I thought, whilst you're doing a great play-by-play, a picture paints 1,000 words and does it more impressively.
Oh, there's pictures of the after, though.
Right. So the first kid who got attacked had a broken arm and a puncture wound in his side from the bear's claws. So the teammate who got the bear off of his friend, right, then he gets attacked by the bear, gets pinned up against the tree, and the kid with the broken arm has to get up and now save the guy who came and saved him. And they ended up just saving each other. And then, it was rough. It's rough. The images of them are pretty grisly.
Well, I tell you what, that's a real fucking friend, because that is to go in and help you. I mean, of course you would, you know, but that's almost suicide. That is almost suicide, to run in and to mano a mano against
that's like
fucking
fighting a real monster.
No,
fucking huge.
It's insane. It's insane.
Well, and while the story is pretty cool, I don't want to downplay it, but there's no way two guys are fighting off a grizzly bear that wants to keep fighting. Like, they're lucky enough that he just decided it wasn't worth it. Like, grizzly bears are the most terrifying animal on the planet by far. Like, I'll fuck with sharks. I'll fuck with a lot of other things.
Oh,
have you seen? No, let me see. Let me make my screen bigger.
He's very lucky the bear only attacked his face.
Mate, they could have just been eaten for nothing. You know,
that's usually not gut people.
Like, they owe that bear their life. That he just decided, nah, fuck it, I'm good.
Oh, yeah, because it's not a competition. They didn't fight off the bear. They fought enough to remain alive.
Mm-hmm.
And the bear just thought, fuck it, you know, because that's what you're dealing with. Now, I know I always throw the movie references at you, but this one's very, very fitting. Have you seen The Revenant with Leonardo DiCaprio?
No.
Anthony.
Oh, my God. Yes, I have, actually. Where he gets it. Yes, I've watched it a couple times. Bear, where he gets attacked by the bear.
It's done so fucking well. And I'm not.
Yeah,
I don't
and
mean
his son
to go
gets
back
killed. And it's a
to
fucking
the bears.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, that scene. And that's what it would be like. You know,
that's exactly how it would be.
There's just no fighting back. I mean, this movie's done so well, but that it's terrifying. And that bear, and just throwing him around, like literally, he's just, I don't know, like I'm throwing this phone around. You know what I mean? It's wow.
They're absolutely terrifying to me.
Last thing before we get into some MMA, because we've been going for a while, and you know, but I don't care. It's our podcast. We like it. You came up with a great question before. And what was it? What would you rather fight? A grizzly bear, a lion, or a what? Or a gorilla?
Or a gorilla. Yeah, yeah. That was the question.
Anthony Smith, what would you rather fight? A grizzly bear, a lion, or a gorilla?
If I had to choose what I was going to get attacked by, grizzly bear would be behind almost every, like behind anything else. Like, here's how I look at it. Lions and gorillas will kill you first before they eat you. And grizzly bears will eat you while you're still alive. And that's like, if you've ever watched videos of grizzly bears like killing deer or moose, number one, they're fast as fuck and they will run down a goddamn deer. But like the noise, it's not just the noise of them eating the animal, it's the animal losing its shit because it's being eaten alive from the inside out. It's they're just straight murder faces. Like it's insane. It's insane.
Yeah,
like
but a lot of wildlife do that. If you ever, we mentioned quite a lot here. BS Bryant.
That's why I said that kid was lucky it only went after his face, because they usually gut you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. If nature is metal, do you follow that page on Instagram?
Yeah.
It's fucking great. And you always see some animals, and they're literally like, it's always like a little deer or a Bambi or a gazelle or something like, and whatever it is, the alligator, or sometimes it's a snake. I saw one recently, a gigantic fucking snake just swallowing it whole. It's like deer. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
A grizzly, but gorillas are fucking terrifying. And a lion with the claws. Listen, either way, you're fucked.
Well, like most cats will kill you first. And then they eat you.
Yeah.
Like snakes and alligators, they'll kill you first.
Gorillas scare the life out of me, though.
Yeah.
They'll eat your face off. They're carnivores.
I guess gorillas will, too. Chimpanzees, like that crazy lady here in America somewhere that had that pet chimp and then ate her face off.
Yeah, I'm staying away from all three of them. But you know who's not? And this is why I actually have the trophy at home for the International Segway of the Year. Do you know who's not afraid of lions? Do you know who now walks with lions? Who's taking on someone that wrestles with bears? Charles Oliveira versus Islam Makhachev. UFC 280, Fight Island, going down this weekend. Enough nonsense, enough bullshit. Let's get into some of this stuff. Charles Oliveira. Walking with lions. Did you see it this week? Like taking a lion.
Yeah, it was cool. That was super cool. Yeah. I mean,
would you do that? I mean, I've stroked lions with my children.
Yeah, I would. I think it kind of goes back to that whole Tiger King shit where it's like, you know, the whole world, all the comments I seen were like, that poor tiger should be in the, or that poor lion should be in the wild. Like, yeah, I mean, it's a cool looking video, though. I agree. But it's a cool video.
And it's probably highly sedated as well. Possibly, I don't know.
Likely.
Listen, when I stroked lions, and I shouldn't have did it because, you know, they should be free. It was tigers. They probably were sedated. I'd like to fucking think so anyway. Charles Oliveira, Islam Makhachev. I mean, where do we start? There's so much to talk about. We're not just going to get into breaking it down. I said, and this seems to cause quite a shitstorm, Anthony. Well, I guess we'll start with this. I did a YouTube video saying that if... Charles beats Islam Makhachev this weekend. And they even asked Charles about it at the press conference, what he thinks about it. And does he think about these things? I said, if he beats Islam, there's certainly a discussion that he would now be the GOAT, the greatest lightweight of all time. What do you think about that?
I don't think there's much of a discussion there, to be honest with you, Mike. When I seen kind of the headlines, you can always tell, like, when they come out, like, Michael Bisping says, and you're like, oh, okay, they're setting him up to get shit on. But I don't see a whole lot of controversy there, to be honest with you. There's absolutely a conversation to be had. He would have the most title defenses in a long time, definitely more than Habib. And that's not a knock on Habib. He just didn't defend it a bunch of times. You know, it goes in, and Habib has said himself that Islam is the better version of him. There's quotes of him saying that.
Interesting.
So if that's the case, then absolutely. If the greatest lightweight of all time says that Islam is better than he was, I think that you can add a bunch of merit on top of that. He beat Poirier. He beat Gaethje. He beat Chandler. He beat Tony Ferguson. Who do you put above him if he beats Islam? The only person would be Habib.
11 fight win streak, 10 of them are finishes. Of course, you know, the counter to that would be the losses. And, you know, and if you're pro Khabib, and by the way, I'm pro Khabib. I put a tweet out yesterday because I love how, to your point, the narrative's kind of been skewed and the clickbait. And it's like I'm talking shit about Khabib. Khabib's a fucking legend. You know, the fact that I'm saying it's a potential that he will now become the greatest lightweight of all time over Khabib is a big compliment to Khabib. I'm saying he's the greatest lightweight of all time. But it's just a body of work. And eventually, when somebody just keeps racking up the wins, you know, and you can't hold the losses at a different weight class against him forever, you know. Right. But I guess it would come down to who would win a fight between the two of them. But we've got plenty of real fights and not hypothetical ones to discuss. All right, let's just talk about rockauto.com. You know the one. Listen, if you want car parts, you want them at the best prices, you want them delivered to your house. All you got to do is go to rockauto.com. They've been in business for over 20 years because the prices are so cheap. There's no storefront markups. There's no some guy trying to sell you things that you don't need. And Literally, you do it from the convenience of your own home. Pick up your phone, go to rockauto.com. We don't give you a code because the prices are already so cheap. And then guess what? Boom, delivered right to your house. Everything you need, anything for a car. If you work on a car, you drive a car, you just need to fix something on a car, whatever. If it's car related, they have it at rockauto.com. So that's the website. As I say, no promo code. Everything is genuinely incredibly cheap. Anything you need for a car, make sure you go to rockauto.com. But tell them that the Believe You Me podcast sent you there, if you don't mind. rockauto.com. Okay. What are the talking points before we get in there? Anything on your mind that you've seen this week from the embeddies or the press conferences, or anything?
I do notice that there's a little bit of difference in the narrative behind Islam right now. Habib is doing something that he hasn't typically done before with Islam. But before, he's always talking about how great Islam is and how easy for these fights are going to be and how dominant he is and about his win streak. He's always building up Islam. And I've noticed in the last week, Habib is doing less of that and more shitting on Charles a little bit, talking about how is he supposed to talk about, he's got the best jiu-jitsu in the UFC, but he's tapped, you know, I think he said he's always tapped 8 times, which he hasn't, but.
No, I know. I saw that, and this is where the sucker I am. I went and checked out Charles' record straight away. He's tapped 8 times. I know he's tapped, but Khabib got me going there.
Yeah, a little bit of hyperbole, I think, there, but I don't know. It just seems like they're more trying to bring down Charles, and they're not building up Islam as much, and that's just something that's been new.
Maybe it's that discussion that Charles is maybe getting a little bit of a shine. I don't think Khabib is jealous of anybody. I don't think there's any of that. But you can only hype up your man so much to a certain degree. You know what I mean? They have hyped him majorly. Everybody has. Khabib has, and Khabib is pushing. Even Islam was saying he's getting to a point now where he's getting mad at Khabib, because he's pushing him so ridiculously hard in the training camp, which is amazing. You know, I mean, what a great training environment to have that, you know, that setup, somebody like Khabib, you know, that lineage, that history from his father, and they were raised together in the same place. And to have someone with so much experience in your corner, in your training camp, in your ear, in your fucking house, monitoring your food. I'm sure. Do you think you could deal with that, or would you want to tell him to fuck off at some point?
I tell him to fuck off.
Yeah, I tell him to fuck off.
I do feel like there's another possibility is that this is probably Islam's first fight in a long time where he's not the main draw, as far like he's not the one that all the stories are being written about. Because I do notice that a lot of the media and the talking points and the social media stuff and the UFC content that's getting pushed, it's a lot of Oliveira. It's a lot. And there's not nearly as much Islam going into this fight as there has been in the past.
Well, Islam's a very, very captivating character for very different reasons. Mm-hmm. I saw a video today on Instagram, and the answer from Islam was amazing. What was it now? It was something about competitive rival. Oh, no. It was about teammates that became rivals, you know, like John Jones and Sugar Rashad Evans. And there was a few examples said. And the answer that he came out with was a beautiful answer. He said, we are Muslim brothers and we come into this together. He said, we are friends. And he was absolutely right. He said, a lot of times in those examples that he said, like John Jones and Rashad, when they were training with one another, because they're both going to get something out of that relationship. You know what I mean? He said, but it's not like that with me and Khabib. I'm not looking to take anything from him. He's not looking to take anything from me. We're not trying to take anything from each other. We're just trying to help one another, because, you know, he went back to his faith. Obviously, he's a devout Muslim. We are Muslim brothers. And I just thought it was a very, very, number one, highly intelligent, but very thoughtful response, you know. So he is a captivating character for many different ways. But Charles, obviously, with the finishes and all the rest of it. Have you seen, that man rolls deep. Have you seen the fucking cruise in Abu Dhabi?
Yeah, he might be the only one that's running deeper than Islam, too, because those guys usually show up pretty deep as well. With a whole shit ton of Russians. But he's got to have like 20, 25 guys with him everywhere he goes.
Apparently, it's almost 100 people.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost 100 people. They've been flying in every day because the BT Sport lads were telling me. They said, it's mental. It's fucking insane. Maybe they're like, shit, we need backup. We're going into Abu Dhabi. It's Khabib's hometown. Well, it's not his hometown, but you know what I mean. It's his backyard. Right. You know, let's bring the crew. I had something else.
I wonder who's paying for all that.
I thought the same thing. Because Charles's brother flew in. I was having my morning coffee today, and my little croissants. I was dieting like fuck for the movie. And then towards the end, I've just been like, fuck this. The croissants for you fucking plebs are fucking amazing. They're fucking amazing. I've got used to dipping that chocolate fucking croissant in the coffee. Anyway, I'm doing that this morning and I'm watching this video and it was Charles's birthday, I think, and they're all dancing, they're doing capoeira and braid dancing. It was fucking awesome. And I just thought, wow, what a great vibe and atmosphere to be going into a camp and having all those people around you. Maybe right. It's a bit of a distraction, but I thought, who's paying for all these flights? Because he comes from the favelas. Yeah. You know, yeah, and Charles is earning good money, but I hope he ain't blowing it all on flights to Abu Dhabi.
Well, I know that's kind of, I don't know. You can tell he's the leader, you know, as he's walking around, like, because in my crew, when I roll deep somewhere, I got like 10 friends, maybe like 5 real close ones, but like, there's not like a clear leader in that group. It's like, there's just 5 buddies or 5 or 6 friends. And we just kind of roll around together, fight week or whatever. And they sit around while I cut weight and train and whatever. But I'm not like walking, like everywhere Charles goes, he walks ahead of them. And it's like the group piles behind him. It's kind of weird to me. Like, he's the leader. I'm like, in my crew, I'm not the leader. Like, there isn't really a leader. We just kind of hang out.
Yeah. Yeah. I was fitting into that Abu Dhabi lifestyle well, you know.
Yeah. For sure.
The leader goes,
like, what else?
Front.
Like, when he drives the Ferrari, what does everyone else drive? Like,
was he in a Ferrari? Because I saw him in a yellow car. Was it a Ferrari?
Yeah. He pulled up to his media day in a Ferrari. But then, like, all of the rest of the guys, like, kind of filed in. Like, you got a goddamn van full of dudes just following you around while you drive a Ferrari. That's some Conor McGregor shit.
Yeah, but, hey, listen, he's earned it. He's the champion. Yeah, you know what I love about Charles as well? And you got to think the UFC love this as well. He said, didn't he? He said what he wants to do is, because obviously we've got Volkanovski, who's the guaranteed backup. I don't think he's going to be required. So many fucking talking points. We haven't done a show in a couple of weeks. But he said after this, he'll go down. What was it? He'll fight Volkanovski at 145. Mm-hmm. And then he said 2 fights. Remind me. Do you know what they were, Harrington? All right.
Yeah, so he said that he would be willing to fight. At first, he said, I'll fight Volkanovski in – I'll win this Islam fight. I'll fight Volkanovski in Brazil
in
January, and then I'll fight him for the 145-pound title in November.
Yeah, that was it.
Then he changed his tune, and he said, you know what? Better yet, I'll just skip that 155 fight. I'll go down to 145 and fight you for your belt in Perth, Australia in February.
Yeah, it's just a gangster attitude.
That's a gangster-ass move.
Yeah, but he did get beat a lot at 145, and there's a reason. It's the weight cut. Right, we've chatted about it. We've got lots of fights to get to. Give me the Anthony Smith breakdown.
For the Oliveira?
The main event, breakdown, and then top it off with a prediction.
Well, okay, for the prediction, I'll give you the prediction first, and I'm going to choose Oliveira. And I've been sticking with that because initially I just said, I'm fucking done doubting him. He always makes me look stupid. Every time I think I got it figured out, he comes out with something different. But I've just always been of the belief that someone with the type of jiu-jitsu that Charles has and the type of attacks that he has give high-level wrestlers and positional guys lots of problems because he never really settles in a position. He's not a guy that needs to fight out of the guard. Or that needs to be on top, or that needs to be in half guard. He just creates. He's a opportunistic grappler. He's a transitional guy. He catches people in the gray area. And wrestlers typically hang out in the gray area a lot because that's where they're the most comfortable. If you're a dominant wrestler, you don't typically want to hang out in half guard or inside the guard because it's tougher there. So I think I'm just going to come out. I'm going to say it. I think when it comes to the grappling, I think Charles Oliveira is going to be. One, the most dangerous guy, and 2, I think he's going to create enough scrambles and position changes to either get back to his feet or start attacking submissions. And Islam's going to be forced to be defensive. And I think he's going to have to end up pulling out, which is going to give the space to Charles to get back to his feet. Mm. In terms of striking, I think Charles is the more dangerous guy. I think he's the better striker. He put a guy like Gaethje down with one shot. I mean, Gaethje's been in absolute wars and battles and taking huge shots before.
And allow me to piggyback on that point, not interrupting before you little fuck start in the comments. He said a point, and I want to piggyback on that so I don't have to address it and bring it back to you. It's called keeping the conversation fucking flowing. Mm-hmm. You're right, he dropped Gaethje. And he hurt him within literal seconds of the fight. He went at him straight away. He stalked him, was super aggressive, throwing that right. He's got power in the right and the left. I mean, and he sat him down a few times. Go ahead, continue.
Yeah, so he hurt Chandler the same way. And we've seen Chandler take people have talked badly about Chandler's chin a little bit, but he stood right there in front of Gaethje and took huge shots at Madison Square Garden. And didn't waver after the kind of, he got hurt early, but after that didn't really waver too much. So I think that the way that Islam has to fight, he's got to get close. Islam is not and Khabib is the same way. They're not doubles and singles. That's not really how they shoot. It's not how they wrestle. They want to push you up against the fence, fight in the clinch, and then drag you down. A lot of foot sweeps, a lot of trips. That's where Charles wants to be anyways, because he can't fucking wrestle. So he's not that type of a grappler. He's not shooting doubles and singles. So anywhere he takes anybody down is in the clinch. He's sneaking to people's back. What he spent 4 minutes on Poirier's back, and it all started from that clinch where he's fighting his way in the inside with hooks and uppercuts, nasty long knees. And then he's so devastating with elbows and knees in the clinch because he doesn't give a shit about being taken down. So I just think he's where he's strong. I think is like Charles has lots of ways to win this fight. He can win it by knockout. I think he could win a decision just because positionally getting dominant positions, like sneaking on the back or whatever, knockout decision and submission. I think Islam's only really got one way to win, and that's get on top, be dominant, positionally be in the right spot all the time, because he's not going to submit Charles. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't see him submitting him, and I agree with everything you're saying. I'm not going to disagree with it. Because a guy like Oliveira, and I'm sure you've rolled. Have you ever rolled? And, it's generally a Brazilian. I used to train with a couple of them back in the day. There was one guy called Loquinha. That was his nickname. And, oh, my God. You know what I mean? Listen, I've got pretty decent jiu-jitsu. I know you have, but sometimes you roll with somebody then they're so athletic and they're so fast and they're so agile and they're so aggressive, and just wherever you put them, they fucking are coming after you. And it's like, holy shit, it's fucking terrifying being on the mat with that motherfucker. And that's obviously what Charles is like, right? And Islam is going to try and take him down. He'll probably get success in taking him down because Charles doesn't care. That's why he doesn't have the best takedown defense, because he's not that bothered. He's not freaking out over that. Islam's going to try and get a good position. He's going to try, I would assume, maybe get an anchor with the half guard, get the underhook with the right arm, sit down in the half guard, try and pummel away. If he gets a win, I think it'll be a ground and pound stoppage. I think that's his idea. I think that's the game plan. He wants to get a dominant position, maybe get a crucifix, whatever, and just pound away. But Charles isn't going to stop, as you say, in the clinch. Incredibly dangerous with the punches. Sorry, the knees and the elbows. In the wide open, I think Charles has an advantage there. The level of experience and competition, that all goes to Charles. Can he keep up that pace, though? Can he keep going for 5 rounds? And I hate to sound like a broken record, because I always talk about cardio and conditioning, but it is a crucial factor. And for Charles to have that dynamic, and we've seen he's finishing people. Because he's emptying the tank, He's emptying the tank and he's going forward and he's being aggressive. He's even calling a first round knockout, which, believe it or not, I wouldn't be overly surprised from the way that he fights these days. As I said in the Gaethje fight, as soon as the referee said fight, he was in his face and he was swinging bombs and he was doing fucking damage. All of that, and then the submissions and all the finishes that he has, the last 11 times he stepped foot in the octagon, he's finished 10 of them. That just drills home in your mind. I can finish any motherfucker on this planet. And he's right. But is Islam good enough, strong enough, savvy enough to not get finished? And if he continues that kind of offense for five rounds, is he going to wane? Is he going to get tired? I'm not saying he will. These are just questions that I bring up.
I'm really glad you brought that part of it up, because that's, I guess that's the one piece I left out. The biggest advantage I think that Islam has is his conditioning, yeah, because there's no way he's going to get tired. And he can be no in those way. Those gritty, high-paced, high-action grappling exchanges, back to his feet, back on the ground, up and down. And he can do that as long as you need him to. Charles cannot. And that's just, I'm not saying that Carl's cardio is trash, but the way that he fights at the pace he fights at, we've seen Charles in second rounds tired. And that's like, we've seen it. And
imagine him in four or five. And I'm not saying he's coming underprepared. I don't think either of us are saying
that. And maybe he changes that and paces himself a little bit better. I don't know. But four and five are going to be tough if you're tired in two. And so if he doesn't manage that, he's going to be dominant early and fade. And the last place in this whole world you want to be when you're tired is in the octagon with anybody, let alone Islam.
Islam Makhachev.
Yeah.
I think Islam's, he's going to have some success. He's going to take him down.
I think it's going to be close. It's going to be
He's bigger. He's stronger. I think Charles has the advantages on the ground in terms of jiu-jitsu and threats. Islam's got the positional and the ground and pound. Well, not even the ground and pound, positional strength, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think, and one thing that I didn't see, and obviously I haven't been in the camp, I'm only going off the footage that I saw this week. And to be fair, this is kind of a non-existent point, but it's, I'm going to finish my thought. I saw Charles training a lot of jiu-jitsu attacks, of course. You know, mm-hmm. he's doing open workouts. Nobody wants to see him drilling, getting back to his fucking feet, because it's not very exciting. But I hope in his training camp there has been a lot of that, you know, because that's going to be such a crucial factor. But you're saying Charles, I pick Charles. I'm not confident in that pick, you know.
I could give you equal as many points.
Yeah.
On the opposite, and maybe not equal, but I can be as, I don't know, as detailed on the other side of exactly how Islam can cruise to a win if that's what he wants to do. It really, there's a couple things I think early that are going to make the difference. How hard is the takedown going to be? How quickly can Charles dominate the range on his feet is going to make a big difference. Islam's going to have a tough time taking him down if Charles walks him down successfully like he did Gaethje. Gaethje is super dangerous if you let him come forward, not as dangerous if he's backing up. So I think that makes a difference.
I think, and both of us are kind of on the same page. I think Oliveira, if he gets the job done, he gets the stoppage kind of early. And if Islam wins, it's going to be towards the end of the fight or even a decision. One last question on that fight, then we'll talk about the co-main, because it's a very interesting fight. And fucking the entire fight card, excuse me, is amazing. People say for the knock on Islam, there's even some people out there saying he doesn't deserve a title fight, which is just fucking crazy, because they're saying the last few wins, Dan Hooker, Bobby Green, people like that aren't as impressive. And therefore, Charles, he hasn't fought somebody of the caliber of Charles Oliveira, and he's in for a rude awakening. Right? I've seen that kind of theory floating around. I did a prediction and like all the comments in the YouTube video, people saying shit like that. I think that's crazy. I think, yes, okay, certainly, you know, there's a step up from a Bobby Green or even a Dan Hooker with respect to them both. They're great fighters. You know, you're not talking your Gaethjes, your Poiriers and all the others. But the way that he beat them was so fucking clinical and so fucking perfect. And they're tough guys to do that too. What do you say to any people that are, you know, putting that theory out there?
I'm going to preface this with, I don't actually know. But I'm going to answer your question with a question.
Oh, politician ever, now, are you, Anthony Smith?
I am. Everyone's saying, well, he hasn't fought Poirier. He hasn't fought Chandler. He hasn't fought Gaethje. He hasn't fought all these other guys. Why is that? Because it's not because he didn't want to. It's not because he hasn't asked for it. There's a reason he hasn't gotten those top fights. I'm not going to call those guys out because they don't actually know. But if I had to bet a large amount of money, I would bet that those guys didn't take those opportunities. And there's a good reason for it, because at the time, early until just recently. He hasn't had a huge name.
Yeah.
Not a lot. There wasn't a lot of reward. There was a whole lot of risk, and everybody knew watching him just absolutely dust a guy like Drew Dober. Like, say what you want about Dober in his career. He's tough, and he's made it tough on every single person he's ever fought. He's never been dominated that way. He dominated Bobby Green. He dominated Dan Hooker. Those guys at the top don't want to fuck with that.
Bobby Green was on a streak, and Bobby Green's a tough, gritty motherfucker. That guy can wrestle as well. There ain't no fear in that guy. And Islam fucking just
smoked him.
It was like he executed him. Do you know what I mean?
Bobby Green's a G.
Bobby Green's a fucking G.
And listening to him talk about Islam afterwards, he wasn't even mad. He wasn't even mad. He was almost confused.
He was dumbfounded.
He couldn't believe it.
Couldn't do anything. And he was even saying, you know, I forget the exact quote, but like, I couldn't do anything. I've never experienced that in my life. Something like that. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
And Bobby Green's a G. He's a fucking G. And he was on a good win streak at the time as well. Just came off that ridiculous win over Ally Aquinta. Fucking amazing performance. All right, let's just take a second to talk about Chok. C-H-O-Q. Here's the reality. Men's testosterone levels are at an all-time low. And not a day goes by that I don't see a guy who has a bad diet earlier on in their life or low levels of testosterone naturally that could, listen, use a little boost to their training. If you're feeling fatigued, if your libido is, you know, wanting, if you're not getting the results, okay, it's probably because you've got some low testosterone. So listen, there's lots of supplements you can take out there, right? But the supplement industry is filled with weak, trashy, dirty supplements. And the guys at Chok are proud to stand above the rest in clean, pure and healthy products. Chok uses full disclosure labeling. They tell you the exact amount of each ingredient and never use proprietary blends. No label fluffing or underdosing. All ingredients are measured to exact clinical research. Chok Daily is the cleanest research-based testosterone booster available that you can get right now. And along with Chok Daily, be sure to check out the Male Vitality Stack, STAQ, and the Stack Ultra. Okay? Listen, give yourself that little boost. You'll have more energy. You'll be in better shape. You'll feel stronger. Your libido will be taken care of. Shit, man. You know? Your teeth will get whiter, to quote Brendan Schaub one time. But still, listen, for a man, it's a vital part of your makeup. And there's no shame in admitting that maybe your testosterone levels are dipping. Try Chok, okay? Go to the website, which is chok.com, chok.com. And when you're there, use the promo code BISPING because you're going to get a massive 35% off your order. So they want you to start with a bang, okay? Chok.com. Make sure you use the code BISPING, 35% off. Yeah, there it is. Anyway, all right, moving on. TJ Dillashaw, Aljamain Sterling, right? Let's get right into this. TJ, suspended for 2 years, did the crime, did the time, came back for Sandhagen. Questionable decision. I thought something, whatever. It was fucking close, right? I'm not gonna disparage TJ's win there. It was a very, very close fight. Could have gone either way. But then he tore his ACL. Off again. In the meantime, Aljamain Sterling goes out, becomes the champion of the world, albeit through somewhat murky circumstances with the knee to the head. Legitimate, call him an actor, whatever you want to do. He became the champ. Got a lot of shit. They get the rematch. He stays the champ. He beats Piotr Jan. I think, and this is a conclusion I came to today, because I initially had TJ Dillashaw winning this fight. But I've done a U-turn. I was watching Aljamain today. I think, and you tell me about your experience here with all the haters and the people online and the people that talk shit. Because I know throughout my career, being wrote off, everybody... just writing me off saying I wasn't good enough, wasn't strong enough, wasn't technical enough, and all, you know, I didn't hit hard enough and all this type of stuff. That fueled me more than ever. And that fucking drove me. I'm like, I will fucking prove you all wrong. And I think for Sterling, when he got all that abuse, and by the way, look at what he did. He went out there and destroyed Corey Sandhagen in like 90 seconds or something, maybe not that quick, but, you know, made short work of him. He's a talented fighter, but then he wins it through dubious circumstances, the championship. Then everyone talks shit, right? He rises to that. He does a U-turn, becomes the heel, starts talking shit. But I think the whole time he's been working his fucking ass off because Nobody wants to become the champ and then get beaten by that guy again. And everyone goes, ah, oh, look at that. See, he could never beat that guy. You know, he's a joke. Aljamain Sterling's a joke. I think that created a monster because Aljamain Sterling had a very, very legitimate win over Petr Yan. And I'm fucking picking him to beat TJ Dillashaw.
So am I. And it,
really?
I think it's contingent on a couple things. He's got to be able to attack wrestling. He's got to be able to, but he's got a chip on his shoulder. He gets real angry about this Division III wrestler versus Division I wrestler thing. It really bothers him that people say things like, well, he was just a Division III guy. He's not going to be able to take down these Division I guys. I mean, he absolutely will. And I think he will. TJ did an interview. I think it was with Brad Okamoto, and said that he thinks that Aljo fights the way that he does because he's afraid, that he's terrified on his feet. He doesn't want to engage, and that's why he grapples and gets to the back so that people can't hit him there and they can't get up. That gave me a little bit of a tell, just a little bit. Like, TJ's worried about that. That Aljo's not going to put himself in a position to fight TJ's type of fight. And TJ is fantastic on his feet. He's his diversity in his attacks is I used to be in just awe of that guy, just watching him compete. I've watched him train before.
He's so slick.
It's just so impressive to watch. But
yeah.
Aljo's not going to play that game with him. Because he can't. If Aljo gets hung out to dry and can't take TJ down and is kind of stuck on his feet, he's going to have a tough time. But I think that Aljo has the ability to take anybody down. And I think TJ is going to panic to his feet because he doesn't want to hang out and play. Aljo will pull guard. He doesn't give a fuck. Like, if you can't get him down, I'll pull guard, work a sweep. I just think Aljo's jiu-jitsu is significantly better than Dillashaw's. And if he gets TJ down, he's going to take his back. 100. Yeah. I will guarantee it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't disagree with that at all. I think TJ's slicker on the feet by far. You know, TJ is, as you said, it's not even close. The guy is very impressive. He's very athletic,
magical,
agile. He glides all over the octagon. He switches stances so smoothly, puts together awesome combinations. You know, he's very confident in what he does. He's slick. He's fast. He's powerful. He can wrestle. He transitions from the striking to the wrestling beautifully. He has high-level jiu-jitsu on the ground as well. But this is a tough, grinding sport, right? Mm-hmm. And TJ has had the time away from the octagon. He's 37 years old now, you know? He's 30 fucking seven. He's getting on. And this isn't an insult. It's just facts. And as at 135, there's only 125 that's lighter. They rely on speed, reflexes. Harris, you just look up how old Aljamain is. I think it's like 32 or something. I'm not sure. But age is a factor. Time away from the octagon is a factor.
Well, he looked different in that Sandhagen fight.
He did. And now
he looked older.
It's one fight. He did look older. That's a good way of putting it. That's what I'm trying to say. He had one fight, tears his ACL. Aljo's 33. So, all right, only 4 years. Dillashaw's 36. Not according to my sources, but whatever. We'll go with 37. It makes my point better. Yeah, it's a tough grinding sport, you know, and you only have so much to give. And those lighter guys need the speed, the reflexes and whatnot. I think Aljamain's going to grind out a win. I do.
I totally agree. I think it'll be ugly. He can't let TJ be pretty. If TJ gets to be on the outside and switches stances and, you know, his stolen upgraded version of Dominic Cruz, and you know, and Aljo gets in. What does that look for?
The fucking bang Muay Thai bullshit.
What was? Oh, listen, we can fucking
fuck off. We're not here to talk shit about bang Muay Thai.
I'm not talking shit about bang Muay Thai.
I'd like to.
I'm not talking shit about.
I'm not talking shit either.
I don't think Dominic Cruz gets enough credit for inspiring TJ Dillashaw style.
No, I won't allow that. Listen. Because it gets said about Cruz all the time, about the footwork drills. Footwork has existed for centuries in boxing. Do you know what I mean? Like, Jason Perillo gets so annoyed by that. He's like, what are they talking about? That shit has happened in boxing for fucking years. Dominic's got amazing footwork. TJ's got amazing footwork. He's probably inspired by Dominic. You know what I mean? But there's fucking, look at Willie Pep. There's fucking tons of boxers that have been out there doing that shit for years. You can't put it on Dominic Cruz for inventing this style.
I didn't say he invented it. I'm saying I think Dillashaw was inspired and stole a lot of his stuff from Dominic.
Yeah.
So he talks so much shit about him, but like, come on, bro. Like your style looks very much like his.
Yeah, no. Shout out Dominic Cruz, by the way. I hope you're well, buddy. Do you know what we used to call Dillashaw on The Ultimate Fighter when we coached him?
Huh.
Dilla Dong.
Why?
Because he's got a rather large penis. shout out there. Do you know what I mean? Dilla Dong.
Shout out to Dillashaw's dick.
Yeah. There you go. We're not here to hate on anyone. Do you know what I mean?
No, not at all.
Given the analysis, but we'll I think
Aljamain Sterling wins the fight. I think TJ Dillashaw's got a bigger penis.
I predict these things.
Hi guys, ESPN analyst here. Yeah, I just want to say, you know, this is a really interesting, intriguing matchup. You know, on one side, you've got this young, hungry champion with a chip on his shoulder. On the other side, we've got the grizzled veteran who's been around for a long time, looking to become a champion. And the situation really comes down to, for me, the grinding aspect. And I do believe that Aljamain Sterling will remain and still. But sadly, at the end of the day, TJ Dillashaw will always have a bigger dick. And this is just the facts. And we know this, guys.
And that's why he can't make 125. That's exactly.
That's why he got knocked off Cejudo. Do you know what I mean? You can
dragging that dick around all day. It's gotta make you tired.
You make weight. He was jerking off like fucking crazy, trying to empty his balls. Oh god, I love it when we fucking talk like this. This is way better. Oh dear. Brady Fink on The Ultimate Fighter. That was the guy I brought in, my jiu-jitsu coach. He's like, you know, he loves a bit of dick talk. I don't know why. Do you have some friends that are like that just talk about penises?
It's
a wrestling thing.
Everything's
kind
a
of
dick
in,
joke.
Yeah. Yeah, Callum's inherited this. He's come back from San Francisco. And like, you know, it's just, he says, you want to see what goes on in the house where we live. It's just a lot of dicks. I'm like, son. Yeah. I said, well, you're being a dick. Shut up. Your mum doesn't want to hear this because he's not shy either. He talks about it in front of his mother. But Brady was like, man, have you seen the size of the cock on this guy? It's fucking amazing. So anyway, there you go. Shout out Dilla Dong. TJ Dillashaw's penis. That was funny what you
I'm
said.
I'm fucking crying.
Aljamain wins the fight, but TJ will always have the bigger dick. Oh, God. Should we do a non-MMA story before we get to the rest of the card real quick? How much time you got, Anthony? I know you're jumping on a plane, surely.
I got a little bit. I'm good for a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. We're not committing to the show, okay? I've got to pack and fly home. Anthony's going to go to ESPN. He's going to fly up to Connecticut, so he's going to fly to catch soon. Harrington, give us this. What's James Corden been doing?
James Corden has been getting 86 and then un-86 from the popular New York celebrity hangout spot, Balthazar. Apparently, he was very rude to his waitstaff.
Hold on. Internationally, people will not know what 86th means. Okay. So basically, he got banned. He got thrown out because I didn't know that. I remember I was in a club in Vegas and I think people said, whoa, Jason Miller just got 86th. I'm like, what? They're like, Jason Miller just got 86th. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean 86th? That he's been thrown out and banned.
It's a restaurant term that means out of. Usually it's applied to the menu. It's like the back of the house term. But more recently, it's been applied to people when they fuck up.
Ah, I see. Well, thank you, Brian, for the history on that. Yeah, and I was like, what are you talking about? Oh, he's been thrown out. He's been banned. He can't come back. I'm like, well, why don't you fucking say that? We said 86. He's been banned. He's been thrown out.
Anyway, go on.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here, bro.
Yeah, these restaurateurs, they don't know the time. It's just quick lingo. So they, he was very rude to waiters on two different occasions. Once when, you know, he had an omelet being made for his wife. It was not up to his specifications and just lost it, flipped out on the waitstaff. The manager ended up coming over and settling things. He was very pleasant to the manager, but was still very, very rude to the waiter. And then there was another time where there was an alleged hair found in a food And he demanded that not only should a free round of drinks be brought immediately, but all of his drinks should be covered for the night. And he demanded an apology from the waiter and waitress. So now other people are piling on, including one story that I read where James Corden was, he was in first class. He was sitting down. They put a baby next to him that started crying. He threw on his noise canceling headphones, turned over away from the baby and went to sleep. Right. Didn't freak out or anything. As the plane is landing, the woman who, you know, is in charge of the baby, the mother of the baby, is having a hard time getting, you know, the bins,
the bags,
the bags down from the bins. Right. As this is happening, she turns around to Corden and at one point just screams, "For F's sake, can you at least hold the baby while I'm dealing with the bags?" Turns out the baby was his and the woman was his wife.
Oh, no.
No. So, you know who James Corden is, just double checking.
Do what?
You know who James Corden is, right?
No.
While we're talking about this, I bet Anthony doesn't.
No,
even
I don't. It just sounds like an important, famous guy that's an asshole.
Yeah, but that's why I love you, because you know what I mean? You're like, yeah.
I don't know. But I want to hear the story.
Carpool karaoke.
That's exactly who I thought it was. I wasn't sure, but that's who I thought it was.
Just double checking that. Read the story.
Fat guy.
English dude does the late show with James Corden, whatever. And so I guess this is kind of not shocking, but interesting because, you know, he seems like the loveliest guy on planet Earth, doesn't it? You know, that's his whole shtick. He's nice. Mm-hmm. He's lovely. He's a great actor. He's a comedian. He's a lovely talk show host. He's just so caring and lovely and sweet. And then you hear these stories of him acting like a dickhead. Now, the aeroplane thing one, again, I'm not saying you're lying, Harrington, but sometimes in the comments, I do see people saying you need to get Harrington to check his bullshit because these stories are fucking nonsense. I read the story that this guy clicked. Now, first of all, let's just say this. You do find out what someone's really like, how they treat people like waiters. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
No, don't get me wrong. If someone's a dickhead, you can treat them like a dickhead. Do you know what I mean? If they're rude, they're obnoxious, whatever, then, you know, you treat people, you know, that's kind of, you reap what you sow. If you're going to treat me like an asshole, then you might find I'd be a bit of an asshole back to you as well. But if they're just doing their job and being nice and polite and whatnot, and you treat them like an asshole because you think that they're just a lowly waiter, then that says a lot about you. You know, it says that you're right. A piece of fucking shit, you know. But what was I going to say? Yeah, this guy that owns this restaurant, Balthazar, I've never heard of it, apparently some celebrity hotspot, he's now unbanned him. He did a post about it on social media, but now he's done a post saying, you can come back. Do you know what I mean? So sounds like this guy's out of his fucking mind, you know, because who does that? If you're running a celebrity, apparently a celebrity hotspot in New York City, and you're outing celebrity clients on Instagram. Do you know what I mean? Other celebrities aren't going to want to continue going there. I don't know. There's just something weird about it. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a good point too. That other, I don't know, people in power, celebrities, people in the public eye, they go to those places because it's comfortable.
Discretion.
Yeah, like it's quiet and you're not going to be messed with. And yeah, I have. Not that I'm some crazy famous guy, but I have places like in Vegas. I have places here in Omaha that I go that I know I'm not going to be bothered, that it's quiet. I don't get fucked with. Mm-hmm. And like, is it more expensive? For sure. You know, but I'm paying for the privacy, not so much the actual food. So like if one of those places started outing people on Instagram about how big of an asshole they were, not that I'm an asshole to wait staff at all, but like, I don't even want people to know I'm there, let alone outed about how people are acting there.
That's crazy. Like, if that story, what Harrington said about the mother and the bags and the holding the baby and shit.
That's a dickhead move.
We don't know if that's true. I'm sorry, Harrington. We don't know if that's true.
I understand. It's just, when stuff like this comes out, people do tend to pile on with stories. This was reportedly from a stewardess who was on the flight, but like you said, there's no way of fact checking this.
Yeah. I mean, because you've got to be a special type of asshole to see your wife struggling to get the bags whilst holding the baby and you're just standing there. I mean, he's out of shape. but he's not that out of shape. He can fucking help with the bags. Do you know what I mean? I don't believe that. I have a hard time buying that a man would do that. What do you think?
I mean, is he that big of an asshole? I don't know. He could be. But even if he was.
But that's gigantic.
Yeah, but even if he was that big of an asshole.
Like TJ's big.
Can you imagine the shitstorm you would get from her when you got home? Fuck what everyone else thinks about it. Like, that, no way. No way. I would, yeah. When it comes to flying and traveling, I'll do whatever my wife needs because I don't need her. Uh-oh.
Bless you.
Holy hell. Yeah. I don't need her all.
As well.
I don't need her all mad and angry and screaming when we get home. It's not, no way. Whatever you
it depends
need,
on the balance of power, though, as well, doesn't it? Because James Corden is a very, very famous man. Even you had an idea, an inkling of who he was, and you have no.
Well, so are you, Michael Bisping.
Oh,
who's got the power in your house?
Not me. But I'm not a famous guy at all. But James Corden's a very, very famous man, right? Probably all over the world, but certainly in the UK and America. And you never know. Maybe it's like, listen, I'm James Corden. I earn the money. I do all this. But even still, I have a hard time saying that someone is going to do that. I don't buy that. And people talk a lot of shit online. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm not defending him, but I'm just not willing to go there. But let me ask you this. If there was a hair in your food, Anthony, if you ordered an omelette and there was a hair in your omelette, what would the approach be?
Honestly, I should lie. I should lie. And not tell the truth, but I'd pick it out and eat the fucking food. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I've done it many times.
I don't give a fuck.
I've sat there with my wife. Rebecca's like, oh my God, there's a hair. And I'm like, let's have a look. And it's a tiny hair. It happens.
You know how many times I have other people's hair in my mouth from like jujitsu and training and all the time. One of my main training partners, Jordan.
Mouthful of pubes on a regular basis.
All the time. Jordan, one of my main training partners, has got long hair, like to the middle of his back. That motherfucker, it's beautiful too. But I'll come home and I'll look like it's beautiful. It's beautiful. But I'll come home and I'm picking his fucking hair out of my mouth. It's everywhere. Yeah. I don't give a shit. One time, I had this fight in Strikeforce once, and we went down the street after weigh-ins to like a. It was like a Subway. No, it was like a Blimpie's, like a sub sandwich place. And I was so hungry. And I haven't eaten yet. I was halfway into it. And my wife, she was like, wait, stop, don't move. And she like grabbed a hair, like it was in my mouth. And it was like a long female hair. It was like down my throat. It was.
It's the feeling as well when you pull it out and it's like coming out in the mouth. And it's like,
that one was bad, but. I was so hungry, I ate that shit anyways.
I'm starving right now.
I'm not going to kill you.
I could eat a scabby donkey. I haven't eaten fucking anything yet, right?
A what?
A scabby donkey.
That's fucking disgusting.
Yeah, I'm starving. You're the one saying that you're pulling out pubescent hairs and just saying, no, I don't give a shit.
That is a Britishism for sure.
Oh, no, it is. Sure. It is. I've got a mouth like Gandhi's flip-flop and I can eat a scabby donkey. Oh God, I'm fucking starving. I haven't eaten. I had a little croissant, but that's not gonna do it. Who cares? As long as if there's a hair in the food, if it's not a regular thing, shit happens, accidents happen. I won't hold it against him. But anyway, who gives a fuck? What are we talking about?
Eat that shit. Be a man.
Right, what's the rest of the fight card? Harrington, just throw them at us. Quick fight. You've got to go. I've got to go. I could eat a scabby donkey. We've got probably a question to get to. I can't focus now because I'm so hungry. I've got to pack. I've got to get to the airport. You've got to get to the airport as well. Anthony Smith. Yeah. Don't know why I'm talking like this now, but Harrington, what have you got for us? Yeah.
Piotr Jan versus Sean O'Malley.
How the fuck did I forget about that? Yeah. Fucking hell.
I was getting nervous I was hoping we were going to talk about the undercard at all because other than Bilal Muhammad versus Sean Brady, I cannot talk
about this undercard, yeah, because it's too many fights and you'll have places to be.
I can't even say them. There's probably not one fighter's name on the undercard I could say.
But hold on a minute. I'm going to bring it up. Let me bring it up.
Take a peek at it.
Peaking.
It's Bruce Buffer's earning his goddamn money this weekend.
Bilal Muhammad versus Sean Brady. Mahmoud Muradov versus Chael Buhayo. Nikita Krylov versus Volkan Uzdemir.
Oh, I can say that
Zubara
one.
Zubara Chukagov taking on Lucas Almeida. Abubakar Nurmagomedov taking on Gadzi Omar Gadziev. Armin Petrosyan versus AJ Dobson. Muhammad Makai versus Malcolm Gordon. And Carol Rosa taking on Lena Landsberg.
Okay, we're showing off. Lena Landsberg, I like her.
Bro. She's good. What was giving you problem? Was it perhaps the Gadzi Omar Gadziev?
That one. There's that one. I'm going to. There's a few for sure.
Sean O'Malley, go ahead.
I think we've talked about this before, like maybe when it was announced. I'm picking Sean O'Malley. Because I just think he's going to be able to stay long enough and just be sharper from the outside. I think Piotr Jan's, he doesn't have
this conversation.
Yeah, I think he's, I think we had it when it was announced, but I think Piotr Jan just with his, he's not super mobile. He's not like a Sandhagen or a Dillashaw where they're kind of all over the place, super mobile, in and out, darting. He doesn't really fight like that. So he's kind of, I don't know, he's kind of, his feet are set all the time. He kind of wades into range and I just
kind of disagree.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's got great footwork.
He does have great footwork, but he's not darting in and out where he's going to be hard to hit.
Well, he needs to close the distance. He needs to back him up. He needs to corral him up against the fence and give O'Malley nowhere to go. But I do think he closes the distance very well because, you know, when you're here, he'll throw a right hand, he'll step in with the right leg as well, and he steps a little forward, and then he'll throw the left and steps with that one. So he kind of charges as he's punching and getting in on the inside. I think on the clinch as well, he has some devastating elbows. I think
don't think he's going to move left and right very well. He just he doesn't cut a whole shit ton of angles. He's very much forward and backwards. But whereas like Dillashaw and Sandhagen are kind of all over the place, you have a hard time kind of pinning them down. And being able to land a hard shot, I think that he's just less mobile than that. Like he's, as far as left and right and cutting angles and kind of being all over the place, I just think he's going to be able to find him easier because it's going to be forward and back. His problem is going to be not getting pushed up against the fence and getting cornered.
I know O'Malley is smooth. He moves well. He moves really well. He's very slick. You know, I really enjoy watching a Sean O'Malley performance, you know, and listen, he's not getting the stoppages and all the rest of it. And he has had plenty of them. Don't get me wrong, you know, but he's also had decisions. Oh no, he gets stoppages, but it's towards the end. He wears them down. Mm-hmm. Sorry. That's what I was trying to say. He's not like a big power puncher, but he wears them down, but I don't care. I love the combinations that he puts together. I'm a fan. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of Sean O'Malley. I love what he brings to the table. Yeah. He's cocky as fuck. But he's supposed to be. Do you know what I mean? That's his whole shtick, you know?
Yeah.
I think he wins. I think it'll be a decision. I don't think he'll stop him. Jan's a tough little bastard. I can't see him putting him away. It's only three rounds as well. Jan starts slow. We had this exact conversation, so we'll leave it there. But if he wins, well, according to us, he's fighting Aljamain Sterling next.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess we've had this conversation. I think he has a tough time with everybody else in the top 10. But I think Piotr Jan is the guy that's just a stylistic dream for him.
Interesting.
Because I can't, like, think about, like, do you see the current Sean? I mean, I guess we don't know what he's going to look like on Saturday, but the last Sean O'Malley that you watched fight, do you see that guy beating Sandhagen? Like,
so
I don't.
I just said a moment ago, I'm a fan of Sean, and I am.
I'm a huge fan of him.
I love everything about him.
Before I finish what I was going to say,
you will. You know when it starts, there's a but coming. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Now I just want to start with, I'm a fan of this guy, and I love his body of work and the entertainment factor and the charisma. So he said that he's going to be Jan, obviously, then he's going to become the champ and reign for 10 years. I saw that on the embedded today, you know. And listen, that's the mindset you should have, you know. Maybe he can will that into reality, You know, we are masters of our own destiny, you know, and maybe he can do that. And I hope for his sake he does, because I like him. He's a nice guy. Mm-hmm. When I was in London last, Sean O'Malley came in for the, you know, to do a press conference for this fight. And what really impressed me about him, he wasn't sticking around. He was getting on a flight that night going home. And he said that, Dana says that he's virgin. Yeah, I know, Harrington, you're distracting me. He's putting little notes in here. Dana says that this is his version of McGregor versus Aldo. Yeah, it is. We know that because he's going to beat a former champion. Where was I? Oh, yeah. He's like, no, I'm not sticking around. I'm flying home to see my baby because I'm going into training camp and I've got to spend every second I can. So behind all that, the confidence, the brashness and all the rest of it, he's a fucking loving family man. You know, and he's, you know, when you're with him, when you speak to him, you know, he's not like the character you see. He's very humble and down to earth and easy to talk to. But I think stylistically, people in that division, there's a lot of people, i.e. the wrestlers, that can give him a lot of problems.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say that too. All the brashness and the arrogance that everybody sees, that's not the experience I've had with him. He's super quiet. He keeps to himself. Mm. He's very intelligent. You can tell that right away when you speak to him. He's very, very smart. I don't know. He just seems to love the shit out of his wife or whatever, you know? So that said, I think he's got a lot of tough matchups ahead of him. Your Sandhagens, your Dillashaws, your Piotr Jans, guys like Song Yadong.
Dong.
We talk about Dongs again.
Dilladong, Song Yadong. Oh my God.
What if they ever fought? We do a whole show on Dilladong versus Song Yadong.
Song Yadong versus Battle of the Dongs going down in Singapong. Hold on. There must be a city that ends in an ong.
It's got to be Hong Kong.
Dilladong versus Song Yadong going down in Hong Kong.
That needs
Battle
to happen.
Of the
if I was a UFC matchmaker, I'm doing that.
Oh my God. Oh my God. All right. Look, listen. We're talking about sexual enhancers real quick. We are talking about Joy Mode. Listen, remember when you were at the gas station, you saw those horribly branded erection pills? They're tempting. Yes. But did you ever take a second to see what is in those products? They are terrible for you. The same goes for most of the products on the market that claim to help men in the bedroom. But who wants a four-hour erection, nasty side effects, heart problems, and possibly a trip to the hospital to get rid of, you know, that thing? Joy Mode is here to save the day. So whether you are happy or unhappy with your performance in the bedroom, why not perform even better? Joy Mode's sexual performance booster is like a pre-workout, but for sex. Wouldn't you rather take a supplement designed to spice things up naturally rather than get a prescription drug that can have harmful effects down the line? Reality is, you always want to go natural. And that's what we're talking about here with Joy Mode. You will go to great lengths to biohack your way to better mental and physical performance. But what about the bedroom? Joy Mode makes natural and science-backed sexual wellness products for men. The sexual performance booster, as I said, it's like a pre-workout. It also has a bunch of great stuff in there. L-citrulline, arginina, yohimbine, vitamin C. It was created with best-in-class scientists and biochemistry PhDs. Joy Mode was created because the products on the market are terrible and they know that they could do better. Okay, prescriptions come with all sorts of side effects, as we know, but over-the-counter gas station pills, they are very sketchy and fraudulent, but a lot of guys take both, well, because they don't have a better option. So if you're looking to spice things up, if you want to improve your sexual performance, do it the natural way. Do it by going to usejoymode.com/believe. usejoymode.com/believe. Use that code BELIEVE at checkout. You'll get 20% off your order. Use joymode.com/believe for 20% off your first order. Real quick, because we both got, you got a plane to catch very shortly. We're not going to do questions today because, you know, I'm in Bulgs. He's off to Connecticut. Monday, we're back in style. But if you do have a question, you can send them into bympod@gmail.com. Send some in for next week, please. Big fights this weekend. Let us know your thoughts. Anything controversial, but we want it funny. And if you've got real questions, like our friend that was the recovering heroin addict, Hope you're well, brother. Hope the journey is going well. We like stuff like that. Some real life problems that we can talk about. Me and Anthony obviously have, you know, we've got experience in life and we're family men. We've got children, wives, all the rest of it. So, you know, we're here to answer questions outside of the MMA realm as well. In fact, I'll be honest, I prefer talking about fucking anything else than MMA because it's all people talk to me about, Harrington.
If you are enjoying this show on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure that you are subscribed. You leave a 5-star rating and a positive review. It helps out with all those podcast chart algorithms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the channel and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever new episodes drop. And if you're watching the live premiere, hit that like button before you guys head out. Also, if you want to catch over 300 episodes you can't find anywhere else, ad-free and uncensored, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial. Check out over 20 great shows on the network.
Well done, well done. And yeah, by the way, back next week, a lot of you people sent in some t-shirt designs, Brian said. So I'm going to get to all of those. We're going to go through them. We've got merch. We've got updates. We've got new intros. We've got graphics with Anthony Smith's face on there as well. So lots of stuff is happening. We never talked about Volkanovski, but this is a good time to do it because Benil Dariush, she's kind of miffed. You know, obviously he's fighting Mataj Gamrot. Fucking amazing fight. Yeah. Volkanovski.
And he's an underdog. Benil.
Is he really?
He's an underdog. That's crazy.
So he's like feeling discredited all around then. Because I get it. Let me ask you this question. If you were Benil Dariush, and what is he on? I don't know. 5-6 fight win streak, maybe even bloody longer. And there's a lightweight title going down. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7-fight win streak. You would think that the backup would be you if you were Benil Dariush, but they bring in Volkanovski. And Volkanovski's getting paid. He came out publicly and said that. Getting paid to be the backup. My theory is because that would just be, no offense to Benil, but he's not the star that Volkanovski is. Volkanovski, I think, if I'm not mistaken, is sitting atop of the pound for pound number one list. Mm-hmm. Oliveira versus Volkanovski, take my money.
Yeah.
Islam versus Volkanovski, again, take my money. In some ways, Volkanovski versus Oliveira is even a better fight. do you know what I mean? I mean, that's, you know, because it's like so exciting. What are your thoughts on all that?
It's surprising. Typically, the UFC tries, it seems like, to bring in a guy that's in another fight or whatever, but seems kind of soon with Volkanovski's hand injury. I don't think he's even been out of a cast that long, but and it would suck to get either Volkanovski versus Makhachev or Oliveira on the short notice, because I think the build up to that would be a lot of fun. The promotional content would be fun. We'd have plenty of shows to be able to talk about it leading up to it and all the talking points coming out of it. It's just a lot of missed media. So that would suck to just get it on a whim really fast without time to build it. But I would love to watch it. So it makes me feel comfortable knowing that, you know, I don't necessarily think that the last situation that happened with Oliveira was his fault, but because they were talking about there was some weird shit going on with the scale and, you know, I don't know. Yeah, the UFC kind of stuck up for him, which they don't typically do unless there's a good reason. So it makes me more comfortable knowing that no matter what, it's a good fight.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, exactly. Exactly. So listen, I get Benil's frustrations. I do.
God, I feel so bad for that guy. But
yeah,
at some point in time, you got to build yourself. You know, like I like Benil. I love his attitude. But sometimes you got to turn the volume up on your personality a little bit.
You
don't have to be different. You don't have to be something you're not, but you do have to turn the volume up a little bit. And if what's that saying? Closed mouths don't get fed. Yeah. Like if you're mad about something, you're going to have to do something about it.
Correct. Amundo. And he's got a tough fight. You know, I mean, this Mataj Gamrot guy, you know, I think he's only got one loss. He's 23-1 or something. I don't know off the top of my head. Fucking hell. Who did he fight last time? Armin Sarukian. And if you're not a hardcore, awesome fight. Fucking that was a display of technique. Yeah. You know, it was that was one of the most technical, grinding, high-paced jiu-jitsu grappling MMA fights I've seen in a long time. The pace was ridiculous for 5 rounds. And Armasur Arukian is the shit, right? Honestly, I'm so high on that guy. And Mataj beat him. Close fight, you know?
Yeah.
Mataj beat him. So I understand why he's actually coming in as the favorite. Who do you think wins?
That's a tough one. Gamrot, I think Gamrot. I think that he's just his style of grappling and wrestling. I think he'll do a good job of staying out of the dangerous grappling exchanges with Dariush. Yep, yep. You know, I think he can dictate where the fight happens.
Yeah. And I
hate to pick against Benny.
No, I know. That's just what I was about to say. He's like the nicest guy you could ever meet. Like the nicest guy. And he lives in Yorba Linda, which is basically where I live, you know. Mm-hmm. So like on one side of the freeway, it's Anaheim Hills. On the other side of the freeway, it's Yorba Linda. It's all the same place. And I don't know why it's called Anaheim Hills, because we're nowhere near fucking Anaheim. But so he's in the neighborhood. But the nicest guy, great fighter, no weak areas. Mm-hmm. But just what I saw from Mataj, I'm leaning towards Mataj.
It's recency bias a little bit, probably. Just we've seen him more recently.
Yeah, I think he's faster. I think he's faster and more explosive. You know, that's one thing about Beneil. And again, I'm not criticizing. He's not the most dynamic. He's very good, very, very good at everything that he does. But sometimes speed and power and explosivity can be the difference. And I think he might have an advantage there. Yeah,
I agree.
But it's one of those. And then opening the main card, we do have Uno Momento, por favor. Caitlin Chookagian, the gatekeeper of the women's flyweight division, taking on Manon Poirot, who I said should be called Feet of Fury.
I'm excited to see Manon in a fight with Manon. Come on.
This is Manon Poirot.
That's what I was going to say. But
you were recently in the France. You should know this by now. Would you go back to France?
It's all right.
Yeah. Paris was a lot of shit, man.
Yeah, it was.
Can we just be honest?
Yeah, I don't. So they say it's the most romantic place in the world.
It was like a capital of love.
I didn't see it.
Do you know what I did see?
I had a good time there just because I was with my family.
There's a lot of crime. There's a lot of violent crime in Paris. When it goes dark, like out of the touristy areas, it's fucking dangerous, man. It is.
Really?
It's very, very. Yeah. I was running one morning and I ran over this bridge. You know, they had that river. And I looked over. Did I tell? I might have said this. It was like a fucking rave going on. A bunch of homeless people. There was music blasting, and they were all like homeless and shit. But they were fucking on some meth or crack or whatever. Do you know what I mean? They're having a good old time, and I wanted to get it on my phone. I'm like, this is a side of Paris that you don't see every day. Anyway, sorry. Sidetrack there. ADD kicking in hard. That's Manon Poirot, Caitlin Chookagian. What did we say?
I don't know. I'm excited to see Manon versus someone who's super tough, because I think she's been in there up to this point with people that she's supposed to be beating, you know, like she's head and shoulders above her opponents. I think Caitlin Chookagian is going to be her first real test. And say what you want about Chookagian, she is hard to beat unless your name is Valentina Shevchenko. She's just hard to beat. I don't know what she does great. I don't know. She's just hard to break down. She really is, because her style's weird, but she just figures out ways to win.
The human mind is weird, isn't it? Because Chookagian's great. She's really, really good. And she beats everyone other than Shevchenko. But because I've seen her fight Shevchenko, and with respect, she can't beat Shevchenko, I'm Manon is so dynamic, and I do enjoy watching her fight. I'm picking Manon to win the fight. But there's a very good chance that she doesn't, because of all those circumstances. I'm breaking down why I think
like Manon's she likely gonna... doesn't. Probably.
Yeah. She probably likely doesn't win this fight. But the way the mind works, I'm like, no, I want to see her fight Shevchenko, because I think that would be a good fight. I feel like she has a very exciting style. I would like to see that fight down the line. So because of that, the pathways of my neural pathways in my brain are forcing my mouth to say, Manon Poirot wins this fight. But Caitlin Chookagian's going to ha-ha-ha-ha her to death at a range.
She's going to. She's light. I think she's going to. I think she's going to. And she can grapple. She's long. Yeah, yeah, she's athletic. She's got a lot of ways to win.
I'm being
I would imagine it's a decision.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing as well. Caitlin goes to a lot of decisions. And she's a really nice, sweet girl. You know, she
Sweetheart.
She fights her goddamn ass off. She really does. I think she came on the show once. Maybe we'll try and get her on. Manon is a 2-1 favorite. No, thanks, Arrington. 2-1 favorite. Manon's good. She used that lead sidekick so well. She's blisteringly fast. You know, the hand speed's great. She's very aggressive. So, yeah, no, I'm going to go with Manon, certainly because Harrington just reminded me she's a 2-1 favorite. But I do like Caitlin. She's very humble in her approach, and I like that. But still, do you know what else I like? Food. I'm starving.
You better go eat. You better go eat.
I haven't eaten.
Go eat, Mike. You got shit to do tomorrow. You're coming home.
I need to buy a suitcase as well. That's the problem. What I've got. The
Did you acquire shit?
I've got so much shit. Yeah. So one of the actresses on here, Katrina Durden, very, 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 very nice girl. And her boyfriend, Johnny, is a fashion photographer for some brand called Ironheart Denim. Apparently some fancy pants Japanese brand. And I've never heard of them. And we did like a little photo shoot and they allowed me to pick a bunch of stuff. And they fucking brought me loads of nice clothes, like a leather jacket. It's fucking amazing. It's like $3,000. Do you know what I mean? So he brought me loads of clothes out. I was already at capacity. Do you know what I mean? And then you just acquire shit. You know, I've been here for a while. So I've got to go buy a third suitcase. So we're going to wrap it up. You're going to Bristol?
Going to Bristol. Give me some shit. I want a leather jacket.
It won't. It might fit you. Am I right, fat bastard? These days.
Well, I don't want yours. I want my own.
Oh right. I kept calling it Lionheart Denim.
That's perfect. Tell him. We'll work it out.
I'm telling him. I'm gonna cut this clip out. We're gonna send it to him. But you gotta do some shots, bro.
I can do it.
Lionheart in the Ironheart.
See, that's fucking perfect.
Do you know what I mean?
Perfect.
I mean, come on, bro. Right, I'm going to put you on the spot right now here, live and uncensored. Monday?
Yeah, Monday.
What time, Monday? 2 p.m., usual time?
2 p.m., your time or my time?
California time.
Yeah, that's Monday at noon.
Is that good for you?
That's
not Monday at noon. You're ahead of me.
Oh, it's 4. Fuck. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
do you want to do one? Do you want to do one?
That would, dude, whenever. Really, honestly, right. Like our normal time always usually worked.
All right, sweet. This is the problem what we have. We were scheduling this one. Harrington sent around the wrong fucking times, didn't it?
See, we got to blame Harrington for that.
We got to blame Harrington for everything. Anthony, a message for the believers before you leave.
I'm sorry. I've been begging Mike to try to get an episode out.
Oh, you're a fucking asshole.
Listen, guys, he said, you know what? Fuck it. We'll figure it out later. And I said, no, it's probably important we get this done. And he said, no, fuck it. I don't got time. I got this Hollywood thing going on. I said, oh, all right. And so whatever. But I tried. I missed you guys. Leave me alone on Twitter for like a week because we got it done.
Oh, yeah, I know. You know, I don't want to sound like a broken record. I'm going to say people get they take it very personally.
I love it.
I take that as a compliment. The fact that you're getting about, they're getting so annoyed to the point where they're insulting us now. You know, you're fucking assholes. Love it. Yeah, it's like, this is a weird.
You know, fuck you and fuck Mike.
yeah, and fuck your stupid fucking show. Don't even like it anyway. Well, why are you getting so annoyed?
I ran into some believers at the festival that were asking where the next episode was.
Yeah.
It's like, where you go? We're here. Nope.
Well, half of it was Brian's fault, too. I forgot to say that.
No, that's Brian. Fair. It totally is mostly my fault, Brian's. I'm going to say.
I called him, and he said, no. Mike said, fuck it, so I said, fuck it.
Well, they fucked off, didn't they, to the little Skank Fest thing last week.
Must be nice to be famous. Must be nice to be famous.
Week before, though, you know, Anthony had fucking hospital appointments. I'm working. But I'm making it happen. Listen, but we will be back 2 shows a week going forward unless something miraculous comes up, which it won't. Anthony, love you, brother. Thanks for doing the show. Mike, Harrington, Brian, I hope you guys have sorted out your little tiff. Hope you're not going to fight. Hope you're not going to beat each other up. UFC 280. Enjoy.
We're going to fight on the show.
Just film it.
Sorry, I don't want to get this fired up again, but I hope they do.
Oh. We'll do a live Believe You Me. We've been talking about this in the UK. Harrington and Brian are going to come, and they fight on stage.
Fuck yeah. Let's go. I'm going to get the dates. I'm booking my flights now.
All right, guys, take care. Enjoy your weekends. See you Monday. Much love.